This line is burning, turning to ashes. It hits the earth. Every step is a day in the week. It's a Sunday or Monday, March all the months away.
Welcome to Nosecast. Homilies delivered in the Holy Gnosis of Thomas Chapel, the Ecclesia Gnostica, in Salt Lake City, Utah, by the Reverend Troy Pierce.
Today's probably the longest service that doesn't include an ordination that we have, so you've survived the longest. Can't look forward to anything longer, so everything after this is cake. The reason for this rather prolonged service is to touch back to the originating stories and symbolism of the Eucharist. The Eucharist is something we celebrate here weekly and that we can participate in on a regular basis. It is also a fundamental part of the story of Holy Week, and it echoes Holy Week throughout the rest of the year. The actions in the Eucharist remind us and touch back to the events in the story of this week, from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday. The story for today, kind of that stark, almost dreamlike language that we find in the New Testament. The Lord sends disciples to find someone to guide them to a place where they will celebrate Passover. This person with a jug is going to guide them to this place. So there is kind of a continuation of that theme of Palm Sunday. Well, go over here and you'll find somebody and they'll let you take this colt. Go over here and follow this person. They'll lead you to where we'll have Passover meal. The Passover meal takes place, and all of the accounts are somewhat different. The name Maundy Thursday comes from Latin mandatum, which is where we get the English word mandate, which is to institute a command. That command is, do this in remembrance of me. So in this most highly symbolic period in the world and the place and the time Christ was, this most symbolic of meals, the Passover Seder, he uses that story to take it to a further level, to a more spiritual level. Passover is about liberation. It's about liberation from bondage, but it's liberation as a people. In bondage to other people. And though that would have resonated the time of Christ, being in bondage, being under the oppression of the Roman Empire, his wasn't so much a military ministry. It was trying to take people deeper than mere politics. And in that way, perhaps, transform not just politics. He's trying to transform human beings, and through them, the world. And so this celebration of Passover was tied in so much with this other God image. Because Passover celebrates the passing over of the Jewish households from a plague set upon Egypt, of the death of the firstborn, and that the way to get around this was to slay a lamb in its place, a paschal lamb, and then put its blood on the door, and the angel would pass you over and look somewhere else. Slay a firstborn. Well, this is hard to get our minds around because this is very archaic religious thinking. The notion that everything is the property of God and that this is very tenuous, can be taken away. That's a part of archaic religious culture, but also the other aspect, sacrifice, isn't a sacrifice to appease, it's a sacrifice to share, to make sacred, which is what sacrifice means. So there is another inner thread to this story, that in celebrating this Passover Seder, the story, the first Passover, celebrating liberation, also celebrating this making of the sacred. Because, much like our own Eucharist, Passover Seder is a way to bring the story to life, to bring it into your experience. Christ, sitting down with this to his disciples, who would have been all very familiar with this whole process, the process of sacrificing the lamb to make it sacred, to offer it to the Lord, and to then share it at a meal, And he uses this symbolism to refer to himself. What a strange notion. He passes around bread and the wine, saying, "This is my body, this is my blood." And also gives that command to do this in remembrance of him. We can view this as having this meaning or that meaning, and reduce it to that meaning, and therefore essentially pull away from the whole story and the symbolism with only a reported meaning. But fortunately, in our tradition, we view the Eucharist as a mystery, as something vaster, deeper, much more important than any one meaning. As a mystery, it's something to be participated in. And the Eucharist mystery is something we participate in. There are all kinds of notions about liturgy and what a church should be, what participation consists of in the world. And we are very unusual in having a full symbolic liturgy and in having people who are trained to do this for usually 7 years or more to celebrate these services. Because for most of the world, to participate would mean that you'd have to get up behind the altar or next to it or something, do your own thing. But that would be participating in the ritual, not participating in the mystery. Mystery is much deeper. And we find clues to its meaning throughout the story, throughout the liturgy. The main key is when Christ says, "This is my body, this is my blood." I think of being kosher, separating body from blood, separating dairy from meat, this notion of separation in sacrifice. When a lamb was sacrificed at the great temple of Jerusalem, the blood was spilled. And this was common in ancient sacrifice, not just in the Jewish culture, but in Greco-Roman culture as well. One would offer up the blood. The actual killing would be done at a temple, the blood would be spilled, and then a further division would be made. Being a priest was pretty much like being a butcher, so fortunately that's changed. I didn't want to do that too much. But very practical people, ancient peoples were. So to separate the blood from the body was essentially to be a sacrifice, to be made sacred, to be given up for this purpose. And so when Christ institutes the Eucharist as body and blood separately, that's one of the meanings. But then when we receive them, we are receiving them both. We receive the body, we receive the blood. And in a way, we participate in that sacrifice not as a death, but as a rebirth, as a resurrection. For we give the separated body and blood a new life within ourselves. We make sacred and are made sacred by our participation in this mystery. And it is a very deep thing. It's also very hard to truly experience. It's one of the reasons why we do all of these things. We have the full symbolic regalia, if you will, surrounding communion. Many other people celebrate in very simple ways and participated in many of these things. We probably all have. It just doesn't quite have the experience that I found here, this Eucharist, this long refined, developed, and elaborated form, because of its poetry, its richness, and its symbolism. Because of that, it allows us to experience, and through our experiences then ties us back to the original story, the depths of its meaning. Whereas most everybody else wants to take a shortcut and just say, well, this is what this old story meant, we can do it this way. Or ancient Christians, they just got together and had a potluck, we can do that. But that doesn't have this rich meaning that we find in the story. And the ancient people lived in a somewhat different world than we do. For us to reach and live that story, we need something else. One of the oddities of Maundy Thursday is the foot washing. And it's one of those things that's always a good example of what it is to touch into the story as an experience. Because basically everybody gets to feel as awkward as the disciples initially did by having their feet washed. We kind of keep that because we don't do that anymore. At the time, it was awkward because it was one of those things that a household slave or a servant of the lowest rank would do. And here, not just the teacher, but the host of this meal was doing that, very much against custom, against expectation. And in the reading in John, we have Peter going, "No, you'll never wash my feet." And when Christ corrects him, "Well, if I don't wash you, you'll have no part of me," then, "Well, wash me all over. Give me a complete sponge bath or something." Well, you don't need that. And this is kind of the way we often initially approach symbols and stories. You know, well, that's just weird. Or if we see some value in it, we go a little too whole hog sometimes and want more. But the level and the means of participation is rather subtle. And we can feel it within ourselves. And when we can enter further into the mystery, that's the time to enter in. To not think too much about how we can deepen our experience. Though thinking some about that is useful. It's part of those two legs we use to move on this path of gnosis. To study and understand more about the symbolism so that it's then richer for us and we can experience it at a different level. To go whole hog in either direction will leave us up short. And so as we approach things like the Eucharist, the mysteries, as we approach the stories and living the stories out in ourselves, in our prayer life, in our considerations, in our studies, and to be led by that part of us that knows, that is holding that mystery, that is echoing it, that is participating in it. That is what all this is about. It's not about the outward form, not about the tradition. Even the ancient stories, the Gospels, they're just there for God to show us to this true and living experience. For Christ is a living Christ, living presence, not something written down in a book that we then pretend something about, but is something we can encounter and experience. And that is the point of all this, all of these stories of Holy Week, is to participate in that nature of Christ, the inner Christ, through this major cycle of stories, entering into Jerusalem, washing the disciples' feet, incorporating the Eucharist, the round dance, suffering the crucifixion, and then the triumph over the crucifixion. All these things are a part of us, written on our souls. We give them life in our participation in that story. And that leads us to deeper life ourselves, to the transcendent life, to the light beyond all lights, to gnosis. So may we hold something of this mystery and story in ourselves, in our souls, as we proceed forward, living out the story and its mysteries. And as we come again and again to the Eucharist throughout the rest of the year, may the mystery of that which hangs twixt heaven and earth send upon you, may with you always. Information and resources on Gnosticism, visit the Gnosis Archive at gnosis.org. That's GNOSIS.ORG. And the Gnosis Institute at gnosisinstitute.org. If you'd like to continue receiving these podcasts, please consider a voluntary subscription of either $13 or $25 a year. That's $1 to $2 a month to make it possible to continue to provide this service. Thank you.